This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Following a landslide vote to pass the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement in the House last week, the trade deal now heads to the Senate. A vote, which is expected in January, could come early in the month, depending on how the impeachment articles are handled. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi last week elected to hang on to the impeachment documents rather than send them off immediately to the Senate. Depending on how long she chooses to hold them, the action could clear a window for the Senate to consider USMCA. Senate Finance Chairman Chuck Grassley Friday announced his committee intends to hold a markup hearing on January 7th. Based on the expectation that the Senate will have received the legislation beforehand from the House. Grassley says this markup will move us closer to ratifying USMCA in early 2020. Senate leadership expects they could quickly consider and pass the agreement within a couple of days. However, if the Senate must start the year with impeachment trial, then a vote will come near the end of January or even early February, following the hearing. The House of Representatives passed legislation last week as well that will improve the accuracy of broadband coverage maps to better identify needs. The Broadband Deployment Accuracy and Technological Availability Act requires broadband providers to report more specific data to create a significantly more accurate and granular national broadband map. With more precise data, federal agencies can target funding to areas that need it the most. American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duval says it's critical to do so, adding that broadband is a necessity. Current broadband coverage maps are inadequate, according to AFBF, because they rely on census block data to determine which areas are covered. Census blocks are too large in rural and remote locations due to the accurately determined need. In addition to creating more accurate maps, the bill requires the FCC to establish an audit process that ensures Internet service providers are providing accurate data to be used to create these maps. It also would create a user-friendly process to challenge the data. Finally, in National Ag News on your Monday, Republican Senator Joni Ernst of Iowa says she will call for the EPA's Administrator Andrew Wheeler to resign if renewable fuel standards does not meet the statute requirement of 15 billion gallons. Her comments follow Wheeler's final supplement rule released by his agency last week. In a joint statement with Iowa Republican Senator Chuck Grassley, Ernst says she will keep holding EPA's feet to the fire to ensure they truly uphold the RFS as intended. Ernst alleges that the industry was guaranteed a deal earlier in the year that would appease biofuels producers. The agreement would account for almost all lost gallons to small refinery exemptions. However, the industry says EPA's plan to reallocate those exempted gallons based on a three-year rolling average won't make up for the 4 billion gallons lost. The agreement that Iowa senators say made earlier in the year would have been based the three-year average on actual gallons that were waived. Moving on into Illinois State Ag News now, coming up in just over a month is the Midwest Truck and Trailer Show to be held again this year in Peoria at the Civic Center. Here to tell us the details on this year's show is Don Schaefer, Executive Vice President of the Midwest Truckers Association.
Yeah, we're getting ready for, I shouldn't say ready, but we've got most of our planning done for the 2020 Midwest Truckers Convention and the Midwest Truck and Trailer Show. We have got, we think, a great lineup of programs to deal with. There are so many issues out there, not affecting, truck operators, but, you know, our members are made up of a broad cross-section of the business community. We have farmers. We have construction companies. We have ready-mix companies. We have grain haulers. We have Roxana gravel haulers. We have guys who haul dry freight. I mean, we have, you know, it's not just the guy you see going down the interstate highway. It's everybody that's out there. And it's a good chance your neighbor's a member because, right down here, you know, and we've got, in the counties around here, we've got 100 members in each county. I mean, it's a big group. But they all come together in February because they learn a lot about, you know, what new regulations are out there that affects their operating trucks. But then we talk a lot about business issues. What do we have to deal with? You know, there's been a slew of new laws that have been passed. How are you going to deal with medical, or not, with recreational marijuana? You know, there's new requirements for sexual harassment training. There are, you know, new laws that are going into effect for truckers, you know, in terms of drug and alcohol testing clearinghouse. I mean, I can go on and on and on about all these new things that are coming up. And it's the one place they can go where in a couple days they can get informed. They can keep up to date with the business issues. And the good part about it is that, you know, all these issues are represented by state and federal agencies. Well, what we do is that not only do we bring the state and federal agencies into, you know, for programs and stuff, but they all come in, they have booths at the truck and trailer show. So if you got a question about your license, you can talk to, you know, Secretary of State. If you've got an issue on a road issue or something like that, IDOT's there. You can talk to them. If you've got, you know, questions in regards to certain regulation on the federal level, you know, USDOT is there, and they're more than happy to, you know, sit there and talk to everybody. I hate to say it, we got a bunch of lawyers there, you know, but they're very informative. And because of them, you know, they basically volunteer their time. And it helps educate everybody, keeps them in line so that they don't get surprised down the road. And that happens, you know, and you don't want it to happen. So if you can educate yourself, be smart on an issue, you're following the law. That makes it, you know, worth everybody's time.
And I believe last year, if I remember right, you had some state police there showing a mock roadside inspection. Are you going to be having that again this year?
It's one of the most popular and one of the most attended sessions. We do it four times a day, and it is a mock level one truck inspection. What I mean, it is the number one from top to bottom inspection of a truck that the state police would do on your truck if you were to get pulled over on the highway. Or if they pull you into the weigh station and they say, go around, you know what that means. So what we do is we get a truck that's kind of rough and bring it in. And, you know, you can crawl under the truck if you want. You can do what you want. The inspectors are great because they'll show you everything, you know, what's there, and show you where the problems are. And people have a lot of fun because they want to see if they're smarter than the state police officer, you know, or if they are as good as the state police officer in finding problems with the trucks. So they have fun with that. You know, we do the Trucker's Pride Truck Beauty Contest, which is always fun because what we do is that we whittle it down and we get down to the 25 best, as we call it, pride and polish trucks out there. A lot of chrome, a lot of great paint jobs, and it's fun. And everybody who goes to the show, they get to vote. What's your favorite truck? And so, you know, we give out a whole slew of trophies. We give out, you know, cash prizes. And then we give out one big trophy, you know, People's Choice Award. And that People's Choice Award is the one that people select over the two days of the truck show.
And we'll go over the dates for the truck show. That's February 6th and 7th up in Peoria.
7th and 8th. Thursday, February 6th, we start off. We do some sessions those days. It's mostly educational on Thursday. The truck show kicks off at 9 o'clock on Friday morning, February 7th, and it goes till 5 o'clock on Friday. On Saturday, truck show kicks off at 9 o'clock, February 8th, and it goes till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The good thing about it this year is it's a week later, thus it's not on Super Bowl weekend. A lot of people say, well, I want to be home for Super Bowl. Well, you'll be home for Super Bowl, so come to Peoria the following week and you can you could enjoy the truck show. And it is a great time. It's free admission to the truck show. If you want to participate in the sessions, There is a registration fee for the convention itself, but that includes all your meals, that includes hospitality, a whole slew of stuff, and it's well worth it. If you want more information, you can check our website, www.midwesttruckshow.com. All the registration forms are on there. All the agenda items are there, housing information, everything you need to make a weekend of it in Peoria. If you don't want to go for the whole time, you can go for one day. You can go to sessions for one day if you want, depending on what your schedule's like. But, we get 6,000 people that come through there over the 2 days of the truck show. And always room for more, though.
And again, that was Don Schaefer, Executive Vice President of the Midwest Truckers Association. And the Midwest Truck and Trailer Show again will be held on February 6th, 7th, and 8th at the Civic Center in Peoria. And if you need more information on the show, you can call 217-525-0310 or again visit their website, MidwestTruckShow.com. Moving on now into local ag news, moving on to the livestock news. We have the latest Greenville livestock auction results for you from last Wednesday's sale. There were 634 receipts, 586 in cattle. Slaughter steers and heifers traded last Wednesday, a dollar higher on high choice and 50 cents higher on the low choice and selects. Holstein steers traded $2 to $3 higher on the high choice and steady on low choice and selects. Feeder steers and heifers traded unevenly steady on medium-large 1 to 2s and steady on the unvaccinated, unweaned, short-weaned calves and the medium-short 2 to 3s. Slaughter cows traded steady on the better cows and $2 lower on the slower cows. Slaughter bulls traded unevenly steady. And remember, you can find the full report from the Greenville Livestock Auction, as well as many other reports on our website on the Ag News tab, WSMIRadio.com. Again, I'd like to remind you they will not be having a sale this Wednesday on Christmas Day, but they will be having a sale on New Year's Day following Wednesday, January 1st. And again, that's the Greenville Livestock Auction, South Route 127, just south of Greenville. Moving on to our last story, again, the Mid-Illinois Pork Producers donated pork certificates for me to give away. And the 12 winners of the Pork Christmas giveaway were chosen Friday. Those 12 winners are Phyllis Ulrey of Schramm City, Dale Joyce of Witt, Teresa Thiessen of Walshville, Mary Bowles of Litchfield, Michelle Sweet of Hillsboro, Nathan Bartow of Staunton, Laura Fleming of Coffeen, Beth Young of Carlinville, Rhonda Wirth of Nokomis, Veronica Armentrout of Butler, and Tammy Beechler of Gillespie. So those 12 are our 12 winners of our 12 Days of Christmas Pork Certificate Giveaway. So I'd like to thank all those who participated, and a special thank you goes to the Mid-Illinois Pork Producers for sponsoring this giveaway yet again this year, and hopefully we can continue this for many Christmases to come. So on behalf of the Mid-Illinois Pork Producers and WSMI, I'd like to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas and a happy and healthy New Year. So that'll wrap up this Monday morning edition of the Ag Show. So remember, if you have any Ag news for us, you can email it to us at WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. So for this Monday morning, December 23rd, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.